In the garden with Keane's Garden Centre Kilcolgan for the best selection of trees and shrubs in the west of Ireland. See keanesgardencentre.ie.
That must mean the great Tom Stewart from Keane's Garden Centre in Kilcolgan is with us for this week's In the Garden. Indeed he is. Tom, how are you?
Very good, Alan. Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us as ever, and great gardening weather as well, which makes it even better. If you want to get your questions in for Tom, because it's a good chance he'll give you a great answer or a great solution for your gardening problem, but also you could win one of two 30-euro vouchers for Keane's Garden Centre as well. So get those questions in 086 1800 964. But Tom, before we get to all of that, of course, we want to talk about this week's topic, which is about an edible selection for our gardeners' hanging baskets that looks great and is good enough to eat.
Yeah, thanks very much, Arnold. So hanging baskets are a great way to grow plants in different areas where space might be limited, or even an opportunity to grow in different locations, be that just outside the front door, perhaps the back door, or even hanging inside a glasshouse or a polytunnel. So the brightly coloured trailing petunias, geraniums, bacopa and lobelia, they're amongst the mainstay of flowering hanging baskets and are fantastic for bringing a great blast of colour to homes and businesses in our towns and villages as well, lasting all summer long and well into the autumn. But perhaps for something different and practical, you can consider growing edible plants close to your back door, which gives great easy access. Really handy if you're doing a bit of cooking in the kitchen, you can just nip out and pick off some of your produce, fresh and tasty plants right there at your fingertips. So using hanging baskets to grow your plants, you also tend to avoid some of the problems from slugs or unwanted visits, we'll say from cats or dogs. And you might choose to grow one type of plant only in a hanging basket, perhaps a tomato hanging basket, using varieties like Red Profusion or Tumbler, or you might grow some strawberries, perhaps even some of the Alpine strawberries that will do okay in some partial shade, allowing the fruit to hang free over the side as well, which helps keep them clean and are very easy to pick that way as well. For a hanging basket that looks great from an ornamental point of view and has the practicality of having a mix of edible plants, perhaps growing a mix of different plants is a great solution. So to begin with, you use a decent sized basket, maybe at least a 14 inch diameter basket, a nice rich compost and good quality basket liner. When you are planting up a hanging basket, sit it into a pot a little bit smaller than the basket, just to keep it steady and hold it in position while you're working on it. Then when it comes to plant selection, there are lots of edible flowers that you can mix with herbs and salads all into one basket. Flowers tend to be best picked fresh from the garden, and picking them early in the morning before they get too much sun is best. You can also keep them in the fridge for a couple of days if needed, and just always give them a bit of a wash to remove any bugs or any bit of dirt that might be on them before you use them. So the likes of pansies and violas, they're excellent flowers to use in the kitchen and are really versatile, along with being colourful and long-lasting in baskets and containers. You can use the trailing varieties of pansies and violas, or even the upright ones will also look great. You can use the petals to garnish salads or to decorate the tops of cakes for a beautiful splash of colour, or freeze them in ice cubes and add them to some kind of nice refreshing summer drinks. The violas are the smaller flowers and are probably easier to use. They have a nice sweet, kind of mildly spicy flavour and are a great garnish for almost any dish. You'll see them a lot in the bakeries and stuff on top of cakes to look really well. Then nasturtiums are another great plant for its ornamental and culinary uses, and both the leaves and the flowers are edible and have a peppery, spicy flavour and add a great bite to salads. So they come in a range of colours, including orange, yellow and red. They look great spilling out of a hanging basket. They're very easy to grow and they're a source of iron as well. So both the flowers and leaves chopped can be used in the likes of vinaigrettes, sauces and dips. And you can also use the flowers to decorate cakes and desserts. Growing nasturtiums in poorer soil will result in more flowers, as they put on lots of foliage when you grow them in richer soils or compost. So you could consider growing them by themselves in a poorer soil if you want more flowers. But as mentioned, both the flowers and the leaves are edible. Then you have orange or sometimes lemon scented geraniums. They're perfect in the centre of a hanging basket. They'll flower all summer long. The leaves have a lovely kind of zingy citrus scent. You can also be grown inside on a windowsill, just to help keep flies away. So perhaps in the kitchen or something like that, they're handy for that. These are another plant that you can freeze the leaves in ice cubes and make tasty, refreshing additions to your drinks. So lemon-scented daiquiris or gin and tonics, anything like that can be, will have a welcome addition of those ice cubes. You can use the leaves and flowers also in salads, desserts, or even to flavour tea. Then you have calendulas. They're a really great plant to grow and give you some height to the centre of the basket. Really easy from seed or in a tray of bedding plants. And they flower for ages, usually in colours of orange or yellow flowers. Sometimes its calendula is referred to as poor man's saffron. The leaves and the petals of calendulas are edible, and they're great to garnish salads. You can use them when cooking scrambled eggs or quiches, and use them when making salsas. Also great for soup as well. They have a nice peppery, slightly bitter flavor, and the colorful petals are also a great decoration for a lot of dishes. Then mange tout, so they're the peas that you eat whole. They come in green potted and purple potted varieties. The flower colors include purple and bicolored of purple and white. These are kind of somewhat lighter than your ordinary peas, so they work quite well in a hanging basket. Choose a nice large basket for those ones and keep them well watered. And then you could do herbs like thyme and marjoram. They're ideal for growing in hanging baskets. And you could add a nice mix of foliage colours along with maybe some creeping rosemary or some mint. You can also grow some lettuce or mixed salad leaves on the top of the hanging basket, which will also provide a nice mix of foliage colour and texture. The likes of the Lollo Rosso and some of the mixed baby leaf lettuce, there are different colours amongst them, so they're quite decorative to look at. So if you're looking for an alternative from your traditional hanging basket, perhaps you could consider maybe doing an attractive, eye-catching, edible hanging basket this year for a change.
Okay, lots of lovely options there for the hanging basket. Before we get to the lengthy line of listeners' questions, Tom, you've a few jobs drawn up for them for the week ahead.
Yeah, certainly with the glorious weather we had over the weekend and promise of a few more days to come. So people will have the opportunity to be out in the garden. So if you've got any spring bulbs, the likes of daffodils that have finished flowering and you've got those seed heads starting to form, you can deadhead those guys where needed so they don't use up their energy creating seeds, and to help keep them looking that bit tidier as well. You could definitely plant some bee and butterfly friendly plants and reap the benefit all summer. So the likes of verbena, salvias, lavender, wallflowers, all really easy to grow and they look great. So they're a great thing to have in your garden, even in containers as well. You could spray the new foliage of roses with some garlic wonder or perhaps some of the organic rose clear. And now that lawns have dried up a little bit, you could apply some liquid moss treatment on the lawn. Zero is a great liquid treatment, so that's definitely one to consider. And then you can follow it up with some of the granulated feed and weed, and maybe even a little shake of lawn seed to improve the lawn just to get it set up for the season ahead. But now the conditions are more suitable, good to get your lawn in order for the summer. And you could plant up summer flowering bulbs in pots. So the likes of dahlias and lilies and begonias, they're all great for long-lasting summer colour. Very cost-effective and really easy to grow, but you get great results from planting up your summer flowering bulbs at this time of the year.
Okay, there you go. A few jobs for you to get stuck into for the week ahead, particularly as Tom says, with the glorious weather we have. Let's move on to the listeners' questions. Remember, there are two 30 euro vouchers for Kane's Garden Centre to be won. And first up is Martin in Kilkee. How are you, Martin? Who says, good morning, Alan and Tom. I have strawberries growing at the edge of a raised bed, and last year, a lot of them were eaten by woodlice. Any ideas how I can prevent that this year, says Martin. And Tom, maybe I can become the gardener for a second. Might I suggest he tries a hanging basket?
Yeah, very good, Alan. Yeah, I like it. I'm glad you're paying attention there. Very good. Well, perhaps, Martin, that could be an idea. Maybe if there is a bit of an infestation of woodlice there, and if they're doing a bit of harm, then normally they don't do a whole lot of harm, but if they're causing a bit of grief, maybe as Alan has suggested there, you could consider and you could transplant your existing ones into a hanging basket or a different container of some kind. But that would certainly be one option. There's you can use some of the ant powders or woodlice powder to kill them off. But maybe, you know, like normally on the edge of a raised bed, Martin, it's a great way to grow strawberries because they're hanging over the side and they're not sitting on wet soil, so they keep them nice and clean and prevent any rot or ant. But if you're having an issue, perhaps you could consider relocating them. And as was suggested there, perhaps in a hanging basket would be a really nice way to do it.
Okay, there you go, Martin. You're welcome to the advice from myself and also Tom, who helped out a bit there. We'll move on to Bridie. It says, hi, Alan. Would you ask Tom, would now be a good or bad time to cut the tops off a hedge that I just put down last year?
Good morning to you, Bridie. Yeah, certainly. Most evergreen hedges, you could cut them now if you wanted. Usually, I'd like to let them put on a little bit more growth, but definitely cutting your hedge at least once a year in most cases will encourage it to get a little bit bushier lower down, which is what you'd want. You don't want to get them too tall and leggy. But for a hedge you cut last year, Bridie, by all means, any time from now on would be a good time to cut it. particularly if it's an evergreen one. As I said, you could leave it a little bit longer, let it put on a little bit of growth and then trim it off. But anytime from now on, Bridie, no problem. You'll have great benefit. Also, it's a good time of the year to apply a slow release fertilizer. So if it's something like a laurel hedge or a nice hardy evergreen hedge, maybe some of the chicken manure pellets would be a good feed or fertilizer to give them. Perhaps if it's a flowering hedge, you could use something like Osmo Pro Bloom or something like that. But by all means, give it a haircut and give it a feed, and it'll certainly reap the benefits from it.
Okay, our next question. Morning, Alan and Tom. I have a holly bush and I'm just wondering, when is the best time to cut it back? There are still berries on it. Is this unusual for the time of year? Asks Mary from West Clare.
Yeah, good morning, Mary. No, sometimes you will see certain holly varieties will hold their berries well into the spring. So, and it might be an indication that the birds who might normally eat it might have something else or might have other food sources, so they didn't have to resort to them. You could cut it back again. I might let it put on a little bit more growth, so give it maybe a month or so, and you could trim it back then. But it'll do no harm, and it'll keep it nice and compact, and just it'll help keep the shape of it quite well. But they're holly. They're a great shrub or small tree. As you can see, here we are in late April and you've still got the berries. So most likely you've had it all winter and well into April now. So a great plant to grow. Lovely glossy green or variegated foliage on them. A nice hardy plant as well. So definitely, if you wanted to cut it now, Mary, you could. And like we were saying to, I think it was Bridie earlier on, if you want to give it a feed, something like that Osmo Pro Bloom would be a good fertiliser for your holly. And it'll just keep it healthy for you.
There you go, Mary. Marion is listening to Morning Focus in Kinvara, and Marion's question is, my daffodils are coming to the end of their flowering life, but are very overcrowded. Should I dig them up now or leave until the autumn?
Good morning, Marion. So I would probably, you could deadhead, like we suggested earlier, deadhead any of the daffodils that needed a bit of deadheading. It helps prevent them going to seed, which takes energy from the bulbs. But if they're congested, I'd wait till the foliage starts to wilt down. So give it another few weeks, and as the foliage starts to wilt, you could lift them up and divide them out then and replant them if they are become a bit congested. Make sure you plant them well, good and deep as well. If they're not planted deep enough, sometimes they'll come up green but with no flowers. So usually it's 2.5 or maybe 3 times the size of the bulb, or 4 or 5 inches deep. You'd want to get them down, Marion. So I'd maybe allow the leave the foliage there for as long as possible, so it sends energy back into the bulb for next year's flowers. And once the foliage has started to wilt, you could lift them and divide them out a little bit and thin them out a little bit, as your suggestion, if they become very congested. You could also give them a little shake of a granulated fertilizer as well, would help send a bit of energy back into them. And maybe if the ground where they are is anyway dry, just after you divide them, maybe just water the soil in, just so to help the bulbs make a bit better contact with the soil. But you could do it once the foliage starts to wilt down, Marion. You should be in good order.
Okay, there you go. Another question here from Teresa says, hi Tom, just wondering, when should I start feeding tree hedges and what is the best feed for them, living by the coast? Thank you for your wealth of knowledge every week on The Gardening, says Teresa.
Brilliant stuff, Teresa. Thank you very much now, and thanks for your question. So now is a good time to feed any of your hedges and shrubs and all that. Usually as the soil starts to warm up, which is usually around this time of the year, spring has been a little bit slow to get going for us this year, but anytime from now on, Teresa, and generally speaking for hedges, trees, flowering shrubs and that, you want to use a granulated or a slow release fertilizer. And generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, a generous handful per plant, and you shake it around the base of the plant, would make quite a good difference. For anything flowering, I tend to use something like the Osmo Pro Bloom. It's a really good granulated fertilizer. It comes in a large bucket, so you get great value for it. And you can use it throughout the garden, really, for lots of different shrubs and that. Certain plants, if they're quite hungry, a granulated feed, and you could follow it up with a liquid feed, something concentrated that you mix up in a watering can and pour it onto the soil and onto the soil where the plants will take from it. So a lot of people would use both a granulated and a liquid feed. But in general, anytime from now on, Teresa, and as I said, granulated, and perhaps following up with a bit of a liquid feed for an extra little boost will do them the world of good.
Brian asks, Tom, can I use wood shavings as opposed to paper in my compost bin?
Brian, I can't see why not. Yeah, wood shavings, if it's nice and fine. Now, I wouldn't apply it in large sections, so you might have a layer of wood shavings and then top it up with some kind of some green material or some kitchen waste or salads or vegetable peelings, that kind of stuff, and then another layer. So not in big chunky layers. You want that kind of mix of nitrogen and carbon. So your wood shavings would supply the carbon, but you don't want it in very large chunky amounts. So little layers, little and often throughout a compost bin would be a good addition, and it'll help break down over time. But yeah, I think that'd be a good addition, Brian. I can't see it being any problem to use some of those.
There you go, Brian. Rose has called us with a gardening question on 0818 400 964, and Rose says, Tom, that she wants to do a moon garden, but her garden is in a shaded area, and she's wondering, do you have any idea on what flowers she should grow?
Good morning, Rose. So there's lots of a lovely selection of plants and shrubs and flowers that will grow well in a shaded area. So the likes of astilbes are really good, and they come in different flower colours. So astilbes are quite nice. Hostas, and there's fantastic foliage colour on some of the hostas, and they produce nice flowers as well. So astilbes, hostas, there's a lovely architectural foliage plant, Fatsia japonica, or castor oil plant. Sometimes it's used as an indoor plant, but it's perfect for outdoors as well. So the Fatsia, lovely big architectural leaves on those guys. Some Brunneras, and lots of other plants will adapt to a bit of partial shade, but certainly hostas and astilbes, the spotted laurel or Akuba japonica is a lovely foliage shrub as well, or that Fatsia, what I mentioned earlier, Rose. So there's certainly a nice selection there you could use. Even some of the violas, just for a bit of flower power, will do okay in the shade as well. But there's a good selection there, Rose. Certainly you can have a shaded area looking quite impressive.
Okay, Anne says, hi Alan and Tom, how are you, Anne? Anne goes on to say, I have my little plot ready for potatoes. How far apart do I set them, and how deep? Thanks for your help.
Good morning, Anne. So usually with something like early varieties, you want to plant it maybe 5 or 6 inches deep, something like that, and maybe 4 to 6 inches deep. And then you want them maybe a foot and a half apart in the rows. And then if you're doing two rows, maybe have the rows about 2 foot apart. So there, thereabouts. And then you'll probably know from before, as the stalks start to emerge, you can earth them up on either side. So bring a bit of soil either side of the stalks to cover them up over. And you might do that a couple of times, 2 or 3 times. What you're doing is you're preventing sunlight getting in at the tubers, and you're giving the potatoes a little bit more room to grow. So yeah, get them into the ground now, Anne, and you'll have lovely homegrown spuds later on in the summer. Earlies tend to be the most popular. The main crops they're in the ground a little bit longer, but also really nice. But maybe on the main crops, give them a little bit more space. But as I said, with the earlies, maybe about a foot and a half apart in a row. And if you're doing it in a number of rows, maybe have the rows 2 foot apart.
Okay, and the final question today comes from Mary and Lissy Casey, who says, good morning, Tom and Alan. I love roses and I care for them like babies, but my problem is my yellow ones never do well or last long. Some yellow ones I got from my late mum, and I feel I'm not doing her memory justice when they are fading quickly and the flowers are falling off soon after opening. Have you any suggestions, Tom? I love the show.
Good morning, Mary. And it sounds like you're really taking good care of your roses. Now, like, I would just check on some of them that they're well firmed in, that there's no, they haven't suffered any windrock or anything like that. So if they're well firmed in, and I suspect that you're feeding them with a good feed, a good rose food regularly, and probably using something like Rose Clear to help prevent any green fly attack and black spot and rust disease. So if you're doing all those things, which I would imagine you are, you're pretty much ticking all the right boxes. Now, sometimes with certain plants, sometimes you might just get ones that don't perform quite as well as other ones. And that can be just the nature of them. And perhaps those yellow ones that you had, they're just not, they mightn't have started off as very strong plants. And that can happen with nature, that some plants just don't make the grade quite as well as other ones. The usual stuff as well, Mary, of cutting them back. And I say you have yours cut back already, but if any of the listeners, if they don't have their roses cut back, you could still do it now. I prefer to do it in February, but you can still do it now. They'll do better if they are cut back. Perhaps, Mary, those yellow ones, if next spring you could cut them back even harder again. Sometimes a good severe cut back might encourage a bit more strength and a bit more vigor into the plants. But if you're doing the usual things like keeping them well fed and watered, I'd say you sound to be pretty much on top of it and making sure that it's weed free. So perhaps something like we mentioned them earlier, the Osmo Pro Bloom is a particularly good feed. And if you wanted to follow that one up with a liquid feed of the Nutri One, it's a liquid feed and it's a really good plant food to it almost like giving your plants a tonic. But the Nutri One is great for reviving plants, so certainly it'd be well worth doing a mixture of the granulated feed and a liquid feed, which are roses, and maybe as the season comes on you could give them throughout the season maybe two or three feeds of the liquid feed, and it would certainly, you're doing all you can after that, Mary.
Okay, great stuff. That brings this week's In the Garden to a close, but congratulations to Rose and to Marion in Kinvara. You've each won yourself a €30 voucher for Kane's Garden Centre. Well played as ever, Tom. Thank you very much, and we'll chat to you again next Monday.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks again, Alan. Take care.
Bye-bye. All the best. The great Tom Stewart there. If you ever have a gardening question for Tom at any stage of the week, send it in on 086 1800 964.